Welcome back to Development Dynamics with Maxi. This time around, you're featuring Sheila Masinde, Transparency International Kenya's Executive Director. And you are lucky to be hosted by Ulwazi Place, located at Kitusuru. Please come check them out. They have lovely amenities and facilities for your conferencing, for your accommodation as well, for you and your family. We reach at the place where you are becoming, transitioning from head of programs into the executive director, and you've been prepared significantly for that journey. Your boss has been telling you and dropping the seed for you. This is your office. This is your office. The corner office is yours. I just want to check also in your personal life. You had gotten married. How is that? Are you beginning your family at the time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yes, at that time. Mm-hmm. Because I told you when I returned to Transparency International Kenya, mm-hmm. I had been married for about 2 years.
Sure.
But no, I didn't have children yet. Mm-hmm. So, in fact, at some point, I didn't think I'd ever have children. And we said the work at TA must be very stressful because, so it took a while to get a child. Mm-hmm. And in 2017 is when I had my first child.
Right.
My first and only son for now. We call them what? Sometimes I hear them being called temporary last borns. First, only child are temporary last borns, if God allows.
Yeah.
So I got my baby in 2017. Mm-hmm. But it was also quite, an election year. Mm-hmm. It was an election year. So my whole period when I was expecting, 2016, very turbulent in terms of the governance field because we're going to have another very contested, heated election. Mm. And then at that point, my director, as I told you, had started dropping hints like, hey, you know, I'm not always going to be here. Mm. And at that point, honestly, I was just saying, I just want to focus on my becoming a mother. Because at that point, he had mentioned that, actually, he was interviewed for an IEBC job, the commissioner job. Mm. And he went very far. He actually did well, and his name was submitted to State House. Mm. So we all knew it was just a matter of time. Mm. Before he was going to be confirmed into that role, mm-hmm. and then he'd have to leave TI, and then what happens to TI? There'd be a transition. Mm. To be honest, at that time, my mind was not ready for a transition as much as he had said. Mm. He said that I believe we had a strong management team, not just myself, but there were others, and he believed that the management team that would be left behind would be strong enough to carry on with TI. Mm. Me, at that point, I was thinking about just becoming a mother. So I couldn't even hear this story. I didn't feel so prepared at that time, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel prepared. Mm-hmm. And I just prayed to God and I said, well, if it is your will that he moves on to this other, bigger, much bigger, IBC, and he was going to be overseeing election management for a very contested election, 2017, and God knows what happens after that. Mm. I said, if it's your will that that's his next step, so be it. Mm. But please pray for us and TI, just guide us because I don't know whether we are ready for it. But he was convinced because he's the one who had groomed us into management, the whole management team that was there. And he knew each of us and our capabilities. And he said, I'm sure he didn't say certainly that, no, it's going to be Sheila, it's going to be who, it's going to be who. But he said, as you guys as a team, I think you're prepared for the next step of TI without me. And I didn't believe it. And I told him, I don't think so. And so it was quite a difficult. I remember that December when we were waiting for the names to come out of State House, very shaky because I'm like, oh my, do I focus on becoming a mother? Do I focus on the transition that is awaiting TI? But then he didn't, his name was not,
selected.
He was not appointed then. And so he remained in TI. But then he continued now just saying, you guys have to be ready. You have to be ready. And he continued grooming us for not just me, but even the other managers in terms of, the executive roles. So there are many things that he just would delegate to us. And so slowly by slowly, I grew in the confidence because at some point I would tell him, no, I can't do this one. I can't go for this meeting, or I can't go for this press conference, or I can't speak on this, or I can't attend this conference. And then slowly you actually find yourself doing it. So every other day, there's something he's asking you to do. And so I didn't notice it. But within two even less than a year, but especially after I'd come back from my maternity leave, because of course I went for maternity leave, gave birth. And then of course, as a new mother, your focus is on, exclusive breastfeeding, what so. 2017 was really about, yes, there was an election happening, so there's a lot of multitasking that I had to do. There's, of course, this big thing happening in Kenya, the election process. But there's also for me, becoming a mother, and you know, as a first time mother, even as they always say, it doesn't matter how old. I was 36 then. I was 36 going to 37. First time mother. Even as, no matter how old you are, the experience is still
the same. A newbie.
Yes, there's never much that you know about babies and all. It's very unpredictable. You know, long nights, what? So your focus is split. There's work, there's elections, but at home, there's also now this baby who needs you, whose life depends literally on you. So I had to balance, but I slowly got back into that whole regiment of work. And of course, as I said, he continued to delegate to each of us things, do this, take up this, make this decision, you know? So before I knew it, I actually realized that when he started now speaking and saying, you know, one day when you're in that office, and it became, I was like, yeah, actually, I think I can do it, because he had taken us through different roles. And I think that's the whole thing about when you're in a leadership position, empower others, empower others, give them the space to also grow and do things. You know, you don't have to be the one. And I believe that's my, the same leadership style I have. I'm not this kind of call it all in one leader where I'm the one who will speak. I'm the one who will attend all the meetings. I'm the one who will do this. No, I don't believe in that. And I always tell my colleagues, you know, you're the experts. Me, I'm just here to create an enabling environment for you. So that meeting, you're the one who will go. You're the one who will speak. You know? Me, I'm just coming for, sometimes I just joke, me, I'm just coming for PR. You know? But you're the one who will speak and say that, you know, you, so that you also create a platform for them to grow. Because otherwise, then you find that you're not really succession, you're planning, you know, for your own succession, if you don't give them the space. Because I believe that that's the space I was given all through my life in TI. And that's why I think I loved TI. Because it was a very, it is, I believe it still is, even in my leadership, an enabling environment where you get the opportunity to do things. In some institutions, you'll find that it is only the boss, that one is only the boss who can do that. It is only the, maybe even the board chair. Because I also appreciate that even it's not just my then boss, but even now, even it's my own board, you know, they give you, they empower you. You know, I'm the spokesperson of the institution. It could easily be, you know, the board chair. But they decided that you're the day-to-day person. You will speak on these issues. We will support you from the top, from, you know, from the sidelines, from behind. But when it comes to being the spokesman, you're the spokesperson. So I also get a lot of empowerment also from my board. And you know, once the board or the people above you give you that confidence, and you know that yes, you're the people walking with you and empowering you. And when you're there, you're representing the views of, you know, it's not just about my views as Sheila, but the views of the institution, which has been backed by the board and all. So I like that enabling environment within TI that has been created by, of course, there's a board, and then even the management, and even my own staff also create that. It's not just you as a leader, but also the team itself, which also creates that enabling environment, that positive culture that allows people to grow. And I think I look back at TI and see where people are, you know, of course, as being the being in this sector, you will see that there's always a lot of transition. People come and go. Especially, and we it's also a sector where you find a lot of young people. Young people are looking for the next big thing. But I think when I look back, I see a lot of people in TI that have landed in good position. And it's also a joy for us. Sometimes you're sad to see them go. But then it's also, you know, an opportunity. They're creating links. They're championing anti-corruption issues elsewhere. And they're doing bigger things. It also means that while they're there, it means that they were able to grow. You know, so I think that's what I've liked about the enabling environment around TI. And it's the strength it has in terms of building and grooming leaders, because I believe I've been a strong beneficiary of that. You know, just joining as a program officer, becoming a manager, then head of programs, and then executive director.
That's a remarkable journey. Because and not just joining as a program officer. Earlier on, having been there and left. And coming back, you know, being been sort of like recalled.
And there are many of us, actually, I'm not the only one who left and came and maybe back. That speaks to something around TI.
Yeah.
Because for me, I miss the culture. I liked the culture of TI. Mm. Yes, it's a workplace, but it's also you're doing something, everyone is making it enjoyable. But the enabling environment, I knew that this, if I wanted to grow intellectually, you know, and develop myself, that this was a place to be. And even just the prospects of growing into leadership, I knew TI was the place to be. But there are many others who also left and have come back.
What's the secret? What's the culture?
I guess sometimes you go out there, you think that the grass is green out there, but when you get there, it's actually, no. You realize that that place where I was actually better. And even just the issues, I think it's also just the passion, you know, the passion it creates in you, you know, the governance issue, you know, it determines a lot in life, you know, in terms of the quality of life for Kenyans and what, and you realize that you can actually, you're doing so much in terms of developing your country, you know, by fighting corruption. You're ensuring that you're fighting and ensuring that resources that are supposed to make a difference in people's lives are ring fenced, you know. So I think if you're a public spirited person, I believe I am. And for me, that's why I felt that, first of all, this sector, the civil society, governance sector, was a place for me to be. Because I'm so passionate about how, you know, resources are made, decisions are made, and is it for the public interest? So I think there are many people like me, and maybe that's why they've gone out and then come back. And maybe with even more experience and what, but they want to come back and make even a bigger difference in the fight against corruption.
Yeah, and that's incredible. Now, speaking about the organization itself, and then now your new role as executive director, one of the key things about the role of an executive director, obviously, is to ensure the growth, the sustainability, the culture of an organization is at a steady rise. So I want us to dwell a little on that, and then also dwell a little on the external. So first, internally, how have you now, when did you formally become executive director?
In June 2020. Yeah.
Also in the midst of the pandemic.
Right in the midst of the pandemic.